Well, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a parenting podcast about the discipleship side of it, as Matt likes to say. What?
You said it at the end of a sentence.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. Matt, I will take this moment to do two things. One, to say, just so viewers, we always like to be honest with our viewers, our audience. We are recording this episode the same time we recorded the relationship romance episode, as I am soon going to be on vacation. But Matt, on the first day of my vacation, which is Wednesday, May the 1st, Mary and I will be going. We have to end the day in Galveston. But in the meantime, we are going to the Wednesday night 7 o'clock Rangers game. And not only that, we are sitting, I don't know if you've seen them before, we are sitting in the rocking chairs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So we are, we went ahead and got rocking chair seats. We're going to enjoy the Rangers and the Nationals, and then we are going to drive 4 hours. 5 hours, whatever it is, to Galveston after that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a long night for me.
Yeah, it's a pretty full day.
But, yeah, I am pretty pumped, no lie, to sit in a rocking chair and watch a baseball game.
Well, I am going to be finishing up my time at Southwestern, because when this episode comes out, I am going to be getting to the last little bit of graduation. I'm almost done with my master's degree. I'll be graduating May the 3rd on that Friday, and I will be preparing for my last Sunday at Long Branch Community Baptist Church, which I announced not this past Sunday at the day of recording. And it was a hard decision, but it was also the decision that the Lord was leading, and I will be moving to Pittsburgh, Texas. Yes.
Let's go Pirates.
Go Pirates. Pittsburgh, Texas is a small town, but I'll be working at First Baptist Church there. I'll be very excited to get going on that, but I am deep in the middle of finishing finals, finishing a paper, and just getting all that stuff done. And Tim, just a quick callback. The last time you graduated with your master's degree from Southwestern was in the very early stages of the entire world shutting down.
Correct.
Because of COVID. Do you remember how you graduated?
I walked across my living room.
Yep.
And I remember because I still took the day off because I said, you know what? I'm graduating with a master's degree. I deserve at least a day off. Walked across, I think I walked across my living room. It was in the Spell House, which was in Cleburne, to Maple and Dixie.
And
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I played the graduation music. By played the graduation music, I mean I sang it.
Yeah, you recorded a video and you went,
yeah. And it took like, I think it took 2-3 years to actually get my cap and gown. In classic Southwestern style. Yes. They didn't send it when they were supposed to. So then I had to ask them for it because I needed it for something. Yep. I think they had me wear it for like our senior recognition. And I remember they sent an email when I graduated, which was like, your degree will come to you between May 1st and May 31st of that year. And it got – I mean, I was sitting there in Cleburne, which, for those who don't know, is a grand total of 30 minutes from the seminary.
Yes.
And I remember I sent an email at one point going, is this actually coming or do I just need to drive in and get it? And they said, oh, it's now shipped. They sent me the email on May 31st. It was shipped today. And I sat there and went, how on earth have I ever lost a point at this university for procrastinating? when the university as a whole procrastinates. But gloss over that. Matt, yep. Do you actually get to walk across the stage?
I do. Because I graduated college, I did the long route. So we both, he graduated seminary, I graduated college during 2020, and I did not walk the stage. So I actually get to walk the stage. I'm excited for it.
What color is your thingy?
I have no idea. I haven't gotten that stuff yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I won't get that till the week of graduation. So
gotcha.
That's next week for us recording. That's this week for when the episode comes out, because we're just a bunch of time travelers. Hey everyone, future Matthew here. I got my cap and gown today, and the colors are blue and white. Just thought you should know since Tim asked the question, and there's the answer. All right. Back to the past.
Well, and for those who very much appreciated my vocabulary with a master's degree of thingy, yes. What I meant is when you graduate with a master's degree, you get a hood, mm-hmm. and the colors on the back of the hood are symbolic to the degree that you get. And I don't even remember what my colors are. I think they're blue and white, but I might be wrong on that.
I'm fairly certain that's what mine are, because it's the same – pretty much the same degree of Master of Arts. So
yeah, I couldn't remember if the Christian education, I want to say like the Master of Arts is a base color and then the Christian education for me was a different color. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Anyways, you get it 3 years after the degree.
Yeah. We're not here to talk about graduation and all the plans we have of watching the Rangers and recliners. We're here to talk about something we've talked about before. But in a different way, we're here to talk about prayer again. We've talked about it a few times.
Prayer.
But the way we've talked about it has always been, this is what it is. And I saw a video this week and it made me very angry. So we're going to talk about what prayer isn't. So Tim, very quickly, will you please walk us through what prayer is?
Yeah. So as I generally always teach, prayer consists of three parts. It is us talking to God. Mm-hmm. It is God speaking back to us. And then it is us obeying God.
Yep.
And I'm stealing that directly from a guy by the name of Brandon Bales. But mm-hmm. on the us talking to God part, this is often the part that gets, I think, the most attention when it yep. comes to prayer, though some may argue it's the least meaningful. But when it comes to us talking to God, often one of the ways that we teach people how to do that is by what we call an ACTS method of prayer.
Yep.
ACTS is an acronym. It's adoration. So that is talking about how great God is, praising him for all that he's done and all of who he is. Confession, which is admitting our sin to God. This is, I think, the most important aspect of our speaking to God in prayer, mm-hmm. is us getting right with God daily. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, which is a time where we can be thankful to all that God has done. Mm-hmm. And this is different than adoration. Adoration is just a general praise of who God is. Thanksgiving is a specific nod to what is going on in our daily life. And then supplication, which is where we would ask God for things. Often supplication is too much time of our prayer. It should be, I think, at best a quarter of the time where we spend speaking. But I also think the more that you begin to listen to God, the more you realize you don't actually have to ask him for as much. He's pretty aware. Mm. And he makes that pretty well known. But I think in a good prayer life, the believer spends half their time talking to God, half their time listening to God, and the rest of their time obeying God.
Yep.
But that is, I think, the very quick snippet of prayer. You can see that, by the way, you can see the speaking to God part of this from a passage that, Matt, I know you're about to go to, which is the Lord's Prayer.
Yep. And in Matthew chapter 6, we have it. We can find those parts of it. In this, you know, it says, pray like this, starting in verse 9 of Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Adoration. Give us today our daily bread. That's supplication. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. That's that confession time right there. And, you know, do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, in this one, we don't have the thankfulness, but you can always add. You find thankfulness throughout Scripture. That's more of a biblical principle we have in it. What we see a lack of is, what does it mean to pray to God about stuff? Supplication. Tim, you use supplication. I use the word stuff. Because I don't quite have a master's degree yet. There is stuff we pray. Hear us out. Before we get into this discussion, praying for the health of others and the health of yourself is not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
It is in Scripture all the time. But we abuse it, I think, or we misunderstand it.
It must be as many things are. It needs to be in a moderation, in a correct moderation. If your prayer life is dominated by you asking God for your health, the health of others, and safety and travel and blessing of food that you eat, mm-hmm. you have a weak prayer life.
Yes. And I have attended many prayer meetings. And the thing is, on the prayer list, what is it mostly filled with? It's filled with stuff.
Yes.
It's filled with stuff. Is it wrong to pray for stuff? No, it's not wrong to pray for stuff. However, we hang around stuff way too much, and that's what we want to talk about. What does it actually mean to pray for stuff? And we have to address this one part here. It is not a demand. We are not demanding that God do something because we have no place to do that. So I saw this video on social media about this woman who was pretty much demanding that God, this might have been satire. I have no idea. She seemed pretty into it. She was pretty much demanding that God take away lactose intolerance. And it was like, God, I pray in the power of Jesus. And what she's doing is she is not praying that God do this. She's pretty much saying, I pray in the name of Jesus that lactose intolerance, you go away, you get out of people. You've probably seen clips from like Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn doing similar things. I pray in the name of Jesus that COVID, you get out of here, or that I pray in the name of Jesus that this person would be healed. Guys, that's wrong. All of humanity, every single person that has ever lived, is currently living, or will live, cannot demand anything from God. And we have no power to speak over anyone. We are finite, broken, sinful people that cannot command anything in the spiritual realm. That is only in the place of the Lord. And we think we can manipulate God into doing things we want, and we are foolish to think that. It hurts me to think that people believe this. It hurts me to think that people are able to use God to get what they want. You know what? Here we go. We're just going to go straight in. Galatians chapter 6 is something that I have come back to time and time again. And it's interesting because it gets me because we think we can control God by our prayers. We think we have the ability to, in prayer, have something amazing happen. So let's just look at this. Starting in verse 4 of chapter 6, let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone, and not compare himself with someone else, for each person will have to carry his own load. This is important, because how often do we actually examine our words or examine our work? We just do things, we say things, it's all out there. It's nothing. I skipped over verse 3 because I'm coming back to it. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We are nothing compared to the glory of God. We are but dust. And if dust has no power in your house, how on earth do you think you have power to demand something from God? Which is why we need to examine our own work. What's the reason behind my prayer? Am I trying to convince God? Am I trying to demand God to fulfill my desires? No. Verse 5, we each have to carry our own load. There are things that we just have to bear. For instance, lactose intolerance. It's just something you have to bear. You can't demand that God take it away. That's how God created you. And God does not make mistakes. There are reasons he does it. Okay, here we go again. Let's look at Ecclesiastes, everyone's favorite positive book in the Bible. This was a verse I read the other day, and it hit me that I've never considered this. And I don't know how many times I've read through this book, but it was something that stood out to me that I hadn't really thought about. Ecclesiastes 7, starting at just verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, God has made the one as well as the other, so that no one can discover anything that will come after him. God has created the good things, but he has also allowed bad things to happen. So if God is over prosperity, don't you think he's not also over adversity? He allows things to happen. So let us look back at Galatians 6, starting in verse 6. Let each one who is taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from his flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. How often do we pray for other people? How often do we genuinely pray for other people?
Yep.
And that's the only thing you pray for. Because I'll be honest, that's not me. It's pretty common for my prayer life to be focused on myself. How often do we consider that God might be, according to James chapter 1, he might be putting us through a trial so that our faith might be strengthened? Or considering 2 Corinthians chapter 12, with Paul saying, I pleaded 3 times for the Lord to take away this thorn from my side, and he didn't. Have you considered that maybe a difficulty might be a way that God is bringing you closer to him? This is not something we want to hear in suffering. But what I want to say is this. Our prayers are often too self-focused, either in trying to get things for us or trying to get attention for us. We cannot continue to model our prayer lives like this, which is why it's so important that we stick to biblical models that we see, these things that come out of Scripture. We look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians is actually a pretty good prayer book. Paul has a couple prayers in it, and it's something, it blows my mind. Sometimes I read this, starting in verse 3 of Philippians chapter 1. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart and all your partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Oh yeah, by the way, Paul was praying this nice, lovely, fluffy prayer in prison. He understood Ecclesiastes 7:14 much better than we do. So why in the world do we think that we can demand God to do something? Why in the world do we think we can some way manipulate the spiritual realm in order to do things we want? We are insignificant people in the universe. And yet, God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to die for us, not for any other part of creation, but humanity alone. So even though we might be insignificant, even though we might be powerless, God loved us so much that he gave himself, he gave his one and only son for us. So why do we try to manipulate him? What do we do in that moment? We say, God, your love is not enough. I demand more. How foolish is that?
Yeah.
How childish that we can think we demand more from God. We deserve nothing. I lied. We deserve eternal suffering in hell because of our sin. And yet God has given us the ability to know and understand who he is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So my question is, why do we spend so much time trying to manipulate him to getting what we want? We have received more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever ask for. It's hard to have a good biblical prayer life because it takes a lot of discipline. And yet we have so many teachers out there, so many spiritual leaders, in heavy air quotes, that model the worst possible prayer life we could imagine. We are not trying to entreat the spiritual realm to somehow, you know, change the physical realm. We are standing before a God of creation who created everything, who has always existed, and who will always exist. We have to consider other people. We have to also consider who God is in relation to our prayer. That is something we never, hardly ever do. And it's something we need to change. So, Tim, you had your little sermon last episode. It was mine. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think one thing just to underscore what you're saying is, again, we never want to make a militant position which says you can't pray for these things.
Right.
But I think what both of us react to is that unfortunately now we've erred so far the other way, it almost seems difficult to not overstate it.
Mm-hmm.
You can, of course, you can pray for health of things. No one is saying you can't.
Right.
But I think what's significant is that we spend so much of our time trying to pray for that, that I think there are, I think many believers fail to really appreciate the greatness that is prayer, because they're so focused on God fulfilling their individual prayers. They fail to realize what is most important, because there's honestly a misnomer that we have a duty and a need to inform God of our desires. God already knows. There's nothing wrong with, you know, you have a sickness or somebody has sickness in your family, praying for that. I think where also, though, Matt and I would draw a line is, it, you know, if someone in your family is sick and you pray for them, Matt, I think you would agree that is not only completely within the bounds of what is right in prayer, but that's a good thing to do. I mean, it's good. I mean, even if you're sick. Hey, God, I know that you're the great physician, and I just ask that you'd heal me so I can get back to doing the tasks which you have for me. I mean, literally, you're not going to get me complaining about that.
But I think it's the posture.
And I think where there's issue is when some complaint about who we are or how God's made us is what leads us to pray. If I were to pray, God, I want you to rid me of my allergy to white grape juice because I want to drink Juicy Juice, and I think that's what's most important. I think both Matt and I, we would say, that's a really dumb prayer. Why are you wasting your time in front of the king? And I think that's, to your point of posturing, I think that's the thing. If Jesus is, as Richard Ross would say, the little Jesus in your pocket who you tell all your troubles to, then you waste a lot of time telling him things that don't matter. If you remember as you go into prayer that you are coming before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he has graced you with the ability to go into his throne room, I think you begin to realize, okay, my lactose intolerance is not that big of a deal. I can make it around it. My allergy to white grape juice doesn't really matter that much. My allergy to penicillin, I don't have that, but many do, is actually not as significant, at least not currently. And I think that allows you to get in the proper posture. And I think really at the end of the day, it, regardless of what you're praying about, when we pray things in the correct posture, it often allows us to make what might normally end up being, I don't want to say a bad prayer, but a selfish prayer. It allows it to become a righteous prayer. And if anything, it allows us to examine situations more realistically of what God would expect us to be thinking in about them. But that's all I have to say on it. I think otherwise, Matt, you kind of covered it well.
Great. Well, then we will end it here. Thank you so much for listening to Tuning the Bow. I've said this a couple of times. I'll just say it again. Strive to be biblical. Know what Scripture says. Seek out what it says and seek to apply it to the best of your ability. That's all. That's really what we're trying to do, is just challenge you to think differently and think biblically from what the culture around you says is good and acceptable. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for continuing to listen to us, and we will see y'all in the next one. Bye, everybody.
Bye.